Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gail Gower with Rhyme the Word. I want to speak to you tonight about the story of the Good Samaritan. Our scriptures are found in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. It says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. The priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? But the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. When a coworker of mine came in a few weeks back, and she started talking about the story of the Good Samaritan and how they had discussed it in their Sunday school class the weekend before, and she was so impressed with what the teacher, her Sunday school teacher, had brought out and how he had put this story in this day and age. So if we would look at the priest and the Levite today, who would that be? Maybe a preacher or an elder or deacon? What if we did not push those roles off onto the elders of our church? What if we were in those roles? Just who is our neighbor today? If we came across a person who had been beaten and left for dead today, we would just dial 911 on our cell phones. But let's think a little bit deeper. Who are the ones we come across today who need some help? I remember a time about 30 years ago when I needed a Good Samaritan's assistant. I was living in Austin, Texas, driving to drop off my infant son at daycare, and he was a little over a year old, maybe somewhere around that age. He was probably walking, so I really would not want to let him down and trust him to not explore the area. I had a flat tire during the morning rush hour traffic on the freeway. So there I was with a toddler, a flat tire on my car on the side of the freeway. I stood there holding my child and watching the traffic drive past. Keep in mind, this was prior to cell phones, and no one stopped to help. No one offered assistance in any way. I ended up standing there for about an hour before I made contact with family to come help and my tire for me. What I ended up doing was I walked to a nearby school and asked them if they could use their phone. And I think about that and I think how many people drove past me when I was there holding my son and just needing someone to stop and help me to change that flat because I couldn't care for my son and change the flat also. In Mark Batterson's book, The Grave Robber, he writes this. Most of us follow Jesus to the point of inconvenience, but no further. We are more than willing to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't detour our plans, but it's the willingness to be inconvenienced that define the Good Samaritan. What if we ask ourselves, could we be the Good Samaritans to others? In his book, The Christian Atheist, Greg Groeschel talks about the 3 levels of Christianity. Level 1, I believe in God and the gospel of Christ enough to benefit from it. If there is a God, I want to be on his good side. I want to go to heaven. I want him to bless me with good health, good relationships, and a happy life. Like the 9 ungrateful lepers in Luke 17, once God has helped me, I forgot about him. Level 2, I believe in God and Christ's gospel enough to contribute comfortably. But if I don't have to change too much, I'll do some of what God asks if it doesn't hurt too much. I'll get more serious about God. But everyone has their limits, right? Or level 3, I believe in God and Christ's gospel enough to give my life for it. Can I give my whole life to Christ, not only in words, but in my daily life? Are we good Samaritans or just nice Christians when it's convenient to us and makes us feel good about ourselves? And when we can think, Lord, look what I did to help someone else. I feel so good about me. Do we stop and help when it's inconvenient or it might cost us more than we want to give? That's a good question. And as usual, it seems that God always gives me the opportunity to live out something that I'm studying. So I find myself thinking, if I'm going to talk the talk, then I'm going to need to walk the walk. And it's not always fun, and it's not always easy. A week or so ago, I saw a couple of ladies standing on the side of the road holding a sign that said, need gasoline. Well, I was not in the line of traffic where I could speak to them or give them out money. And unless I felt directed by God, I was just going to pass by. So I happened to be on my way to fill up my own tank of gas. And as I was standing there pumping the gas, and I was asking God, you know, do you want me to go back and help these ladies? What do I do? How do I go about doing that? And so I really felt that that was something that the Lord wanted me to do. Now, I'm not one to give out money unless I feel that the Lord has directed me to do that, but I decided I would help them fill up their tank with gas. So I circled back around, went through the lights, and come up to the intersection where they were. But it so happened they were facing the opposite way of traffic. And I had prayed as I was coming around, Lord, you know, if you want me to help them, give me the opportunity to stop at that intersection. Well, keep in mind, this intersection is one that whenever you come back around, the light is normally green and you just keep going through. But it so happened that it turned red when I was there. So I sat there, and I looked over at those ladies, and they were looking the other way, and I thought, well, if I honk my horn, they'll come over here, but they probably don't have time. And I was just thinking all these things of what I could do, what I couldn't do, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and the light turned green, and off I went. So I immediately thought, you know what, God gave me the opportunity. I did not take it, so I'm going to circle back around. So I pulled in through Walmart, made my way across the Walmart parking lot, pulled back out on the feeder road and come up to where the ladies were. And I was able to get stopped by where they were, and I asked them where their car was, and it was at the gas station across the road. So I told them, I'm going to circle back around, and I will buy you some gas. And so I made my way back around through the heavy traffic and got back over to the gas station. They had their car pulled up, so I got out and started filling up their car with gasoline, and during a conversation, I found out that they were headed to Dallas to see one of the ladies' mothers who was in the hospital. Since my son works at a hospital in Dallas, I quickly asked, what hospital is she in? And the lady replied, oh, I don't know, immediately, that this was a scam that I had gotten caught up in. And then the other lady said, oh, we have the address in our GPS. So I went ahead and filled up the tank with gas, or I didn't fill it all the way up, but I put in what I felt like that I should do. It was enough to get them to Dallas. And so I drove home thinking, God, how did I miss you? I really felt like this is what you wanted me to do. I really felt like you wanted me to help these ladies. I know what it's like to be stranded. I know what it's like to need help. I just really felt like I heard from you. So I was just like grumbling all the way home. I got home. My husband was here. I just went in. I was like, I just want to tell you what happened. I told him the whole story. I told him how, you know, I just felt like it was a scam, that I got caught up with it, but I had prayed about it, and I just felt like that that's what God wanted me to do. And he told me, honey, don't worry about it, because if it's what God wanted you to do, he will work this out for good. He will show them something. He will minister to them. So I was in the house cooking supper, and, of course, I was still grumbling, so you can tell I had quite a moment there, when the Lord just showed me something. The man that was the Good Samaritan, he did not have any idea who the man who had been beaten up and left for dead was. He did not know his background. He did not know where he was going. He really did not know what had happened to him. He just saw a person in need, and he went to help. And I said, you know what, God, I'll take that. That gave me some information. It may have cost me some money to fill up the car with gas, but I appreciate the fact that you showed me that, Lord. So I know that some of you might be thinking, you know, there's times you have to guard yourself and not get yourself into a harmful situation. And I understand that you need to pray about being a Good Samaritan, and you need to let God direct you, because not every situation is a good situation. So I just want to say you need to exercise caution in that. And some of you also might be thinking, you know, I'd like to help somebody, but I don't have any extra money. I can hardly make ends meet myself. So, you know, God gave me another situation. A couple of weeks ago, Keith and I went to Houston for a few days, and he had some things to get done, and I was going to visit some friends and go to all my favorite places, visit my favorite Christian bookstores, and go through all, see what all was new. But it so happened that it rained while we were there for both days. And it didn't just rain, it flooded in sometimes. So after visiting with my friends that morning, I decided to go to Barnes & Noble and look through the books, which is one of my favorite things to do. And when we lived in the Houston area, I would go to the Barnes & Noble nearby. I would get a drink from Starbucks. Then I would go into the bookstore. I'd find one of those step stools, and I would put it in my favorite section, and I would just sit there and, on that little stool, sip my drink while I just browse through the books. So it was one of my favorite things to do to help me relax and just see what all God had to do. But that day, I happened to be looking through the Christian section, and I come across a book called When God Winks at You by Squire, Rochnell. And I knew about another book he had written called When God Winks. So I was excited to find this book, and the fact that it was on the clearance rack was just a double blessing to me. So I went back to the hotel later and started reading on that book. Well, the next day, it was raining again, and Keith drove me down to Galveston, and I had planned to walk out on the beach and pray, but again, it was raining, so I just didn't get the opportunity. So I was really discouraged with that. And that afternoon, Keith had gone back to run his errands, and I went back to Barnes & Noble. And I thought, you know what, this is not how I wanted to spend my days. I wanted to be able to get out and look in the Christian bookstores. I wanted to do some things that I wanted to get done, and here I am back at Barnes & Noble, and I was just kind of discouraged. So I went into Starbucks first, and I got behind a lady who was ordering. And then when she gave her order, excuse me, she turned around and said hello to me. And I don't mean she just, like, looked over her shoulder and said hi. She turned around, faced me, said, hello, how are you doing? And I replied, fine. Then she went on and said, it's so good to see you. How have you been? And by this time, I was kind of in a panic, because I was thinking, I don't remember her. Did I know her when I lived here? I don't recognize the face. I don't know. And I was just kind of panicking as to who this lady might be. And, I mean, she was just so warm and friendly and inviting. And then the lady came up to finish her order, and she turned back around. And then it struck me, this lady is a believer. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to start up another conversation with her. So after she finished her order, I kind of was looking over her shoulder, and I noticed that she had a bracelet that had a cross on it. So I said, oh, can I see your bracelet? And then she began to tell me all about it and how it told the story of Christ and the cross on there. And she said that she worked at Hallmark next door, but that they were currently out of the bracelets and I would have to come back from some other time. And I told her, well, I'm not from this area. And she looked at me and she said, Isn't it just wonderful how God puts two believers together in a place when they're not even from the same area and they don't know each other? I can tell you, I felt like I had met up with a dear friend that I had not seen in years, and I was just praising God. It was just so nice to have contact with another believer who was just so open and friendly. And I can tell you, as I stood there, when I was behind her, I probably was not smiling. I was not a happy camper. I was not excited at being back at Barnes & Noble's again, even though it's one of my favorite things to do. I just didn't want to do my whole vacation time that way. I wanted to do some other things. But I really felt like, you know, God had winked at me that morning. It turned my entire day around. My attitude of the trip and the events, I no longer cared that it was raining or flooding. I went over to the section of the books that I wanted to look through that day, and right there in front of that books was one of their step stools just waiting for me. I felt like, wow, another wink. It was like one of those double winks. Remember when, like, you used to practice when you were a kid, you could wink with one eye, and then you wanted to wink with the other eye, and then once you finally learned, it was like you could wink and then wink with the other eye, and it was like the coolest thing ever. And I would have felt like God had winked with me with both eyes. Double wink. Wink, wink. But I wanted to... I guess, be a good Samaritan to someone else. I wanted to find a way that I could share God's love with someone else. And so I started thinking about, Lord, what are other ways that I can help people? What are some of the ways in my life where I have had the opportunity to be a good Samaritan, whether I've missed them or... What are some of the ways that I can be a good Samaritan? What are some of the ways that the people of the church, that we can reach out and be good Samaritans? So I was reminded of a story that Keith and I had, a thing that had happened several years ago. It was Christmas Eve. And I had gotten off work, and I was all excited, ready for the holidays to start. And I called Keith, and he was about to get off work. And he said the words that you really don't want to hear at holiday time, the words of, I need to go to Walmart. And I'm thinking, oh, my word, Christmas Eve, I'm waiting for the holiday to start. I do not want to go to Walmart. This is the last thing that I would want to do. So I said, okay. He's like, well, just meet me there. And I'm thinking, meet you there? Okay, that's going to be two and more automobiles in an already crowded parking spot or parking lot. But, okay, I will meet you there. So we met up at Walmart. Then we get inside, and he's like, well, you take a buggy and go this way, and I'll take a buggy and go that way. And I'm like, what? Another thing that was just really putting a damper on my attitude, we might say, because I felt like if we can stay together, we'll just get everything done, everything will be in one buggy, and then we can just go home. We don't want to be separated, but he likes, you know, us to go separate ways so that we can get things done faster. So I took my buggy, and I went off and got the things I needed to get, and he had his buggy. He went another way. And so then after I got my stuff, I started searching the store to try and find him, which I knew that I would do, and I was not happy camper again. And about the time I came down this aisle, and I looked over, and there was Keith. And I said, I spoke to him. I said, here I am. I got my stuff. And he's like, look behind you. And I turned around, and there was a friend from church with her buggy behind me, and she only had two candles in her buggy. And I looked at her, and she was about in tears. And I knew that she had lost her son earlier that year to a tragic event. And I grabbed a hold of her and hugged her there in Walmart, and we stood there, and we cried next to the canned goods. She told me, she said, I just came to buy a candle to light it on Christmas for her son. And she had bought one for her mother also, who had passed away a couple of years before. This lady just needed a friend. She needed a good Samaritan, someone to just stop and listen, someone to hug her and tell her, it's going to be all right. There's somebody here that cares about you. And I was able to, I guess, minister to her and her pain. And it just, it brightened my day. It made me feel like that I was doing something to help someone. And all it took was just to listen, to hug her, and to help meet her in her need. So let's think about the priest and the Levite that passed this Samaritan by. One of the things that I learned in my research from this was touching a dead body rendered priests and Levites ceremonially unclean and so unable to fulfill temple commitments. Of the two who passed by, many have suspected the man was dead. For the priest, however, this was a poor excuse, since he is specifically said to be going down the road and so presumably traveling away from Jerusalem after his temple service. Many priests were also members of the aristocratic elite and so would not associate with commoners. Jewish hearers may therefore have expected such snobbery from these two. Perhaps they had expected a local rabbi or respected Pharisee to come along next and help the man, but not a Samaritan. And that I found in the commentary Luke. It's a Zondervan Illustrated Bible Commentary, which is one of my favorites. So let's just think about that. These, the priest and the Levite, were going back from possibly doing their own duties in the temple. So they really did not have the excuse that they would be considered unclean. So what might our excuses be? Do we have the excuse, I really don't have the money? I really don't have the time? I really don't have what it takes? I really just can't do this right now. I can tell you that the lady who spoke to me at Barnes & Noble, she didn't know who I was. She did not know what I was going through. She did not know what kind of person I was. And I probably did not have a smile on my face because I was not a happy camper. But it didn't matter to her. She turned around and greeted me. And she may have done so because of the look on my face and because I looked like I needed a friend. But she greeted me like I was a long-lost friend, and it just really changed my day. And, of course, you know that whenever I get into studying something, the Lord seems to bring about a rhyme that I write that kind of points towards what's going on in this day and age. So for this one, I wrote the rhyme, Who Might Our Neighbors Be? In this day and age, who might our neighbors be? Are they the people we pretend not to see? How about the people on the street corners that we pass by? We look ahead when we don't want to give them money or just say hi. Could it be the homeless people that are sleeping on the street? But we drive away with our stomachs full and our clothes still neat. We sit in our cars praying for the light to turn green so we can drive away uncaring and without being seen. Maybe those people who tell dirty jokes or have offensive talk, do we just pass them by with our noses up, walking our Christian walk? Could our neighbor be those people we have passed up once again? We know it could not be them, not with the color of their skin. Have you ever seen someone whom you knew needed help with a task, but because you're in a hurry to assist them is too much to ask? maybe it might cost you something you don't want to give. You might have to cut back somewhere to help someone to live. What if God asks you to take something and give it away? So you pretend not to hear him and say no in that way. But what if you had something to offer? That is a dear treasure. But comparing your possessions to theirs is not a fair measure. Could we ever stop and say a kind word to brighten their day? Possibly offer to help them with something, then ask if we could pray? Are Christians the Good Samaritans when we see those in need? Or is it the people who don't even know Jesus sowing the good seed? So God, let it be the Christians who stop to help and offer a smile, so those in need can see Jesus when we all go the extra mile. Wow. That seemed to have ministered to me in about every paragraph. I think I have probably done almost every one of these. I have sat in my car wanting the light to turn green so that I don't have to look at those people holding their signs that might have a need for some money or some assistance. You know, I pass by the people that are homeless and just either looked and kind of went, wow, look, or I have just kept on going. Or what about the people that, you know, are not talking the talk that you want them to and they're offensive? You know, are we Christian snobs when we walk past? What about when we see someone that needs help? Do we stop and help them? What if it is something that will cost us some time, some effort, something that we don't necessarily want to give? What if God asks us to give away something that is something very dear to us, but it would mean so much more to somebody else? So could we ever just stop and say hello to someone and just brighten their day? Can we talk to them about Jesus? Can we ask them if we could pray with them? These thoughts on the Good Samaritan are intriguing, I guess. Do we get the opportunity to be a Good Samaritan? And not even in the depth that the Samaritan did as far as bandaging and caring and putting the guy in the inn at his own expense, but are we the Good Samaritans in just day-to-day life? For seeing those in need? Are we helping to meet those needs? Are we asking God, show us ways to meet those needs, whether it just be giving a hug to a woman who's lost a son that is just walking through a crowded Walmart and just feels like she's all alone. I really feel like God put me there that day to just talk to her and listen to her because she needed somebody. She just needed a friend. So let me ask you, do you get opportunities? Do you pass those opportunities by or do you stop and help? I know that there's lots of opportunities that I have missed. I know that there will be more opportunities that I will get. Because I have certainly found out that if I study it and try and speak on it or write about it, then I certainly get the opportunity to live it out. And it's something that I don't always get right, but something that I want to get right more and more. I do want to say that I want to use wisdom in situations and ask God for direction. Not everyone looking for a handout has an appropriate need, but I want to make certain that I don't mess up the opportunities that God gives me. I don't want to miss hearing God's voice, excuse me, whenever he directs me in a way. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and reach out to those, because it might turn someone's life around. It might lead someone to Jesus if they can just see Jesus through us, if they can see Jesus through the Christian people who are talking the talk, but maybe not walking the walk. That's a, something to think about there. So just ask yourself, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I being a good Samaritan to people in need? Just a thought. Okay, well, I would like to pray for you. Pray for those that are listening. Pray for opportunities that that God might give us. Father God, we just come before you. And Lord, we just thank you that we can bring our hurts and needs before you, and that, Lord, you will minister to us in those needs. Father, we can bring our victories to you, and you will celebrate with us, Lord. It is just so good to know that you are there with us through both good and bad. But Father God, help us to be willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those other people that might be hurting, that might not know you like we know you, and might not know that they can come to you for help. Or Father, they may have even come to you for help, and they've asked you to send someone that can just care about them, someone that they can physically put their arms around and just cry on their shoulder if they need to, God. Someone that will just care that they're hurting and let them know that they're not alone. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you, God, that you are there and you are caring, and that you care about each and every one of us and our situations, Lord, the good and the bad. I thank you for it. I thank you for your word, Lord, that we can go to, that ministers to us and opens our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that gives us opportunities to look around and see the lost and the hurting in this world. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank you all. Excuse me. Thank you all for listening. I want to let you know that I will be speaking again the first Tuesday of next month. I don't have anything quite finished yet, but I am working on another rhyme. So we'll see if that's something that God brings about within the next month. I'm trying to do some studying on another subject, as well as leading a Bible study at my church. There is a Monday night Bible study for the women, and we're doing a Beth Moore study, Children of the Day. So I have the homework for that, as well as trying to hear what God is wanting me to write on and something else. So I want to say thank you to you all for listening, and God bless you. Thank you.